Join us in the opening song, All Are Welcome, verses 1 and 4, number 436. 436, please stand.
Welcome to all you are visiting us this morning. I'm glad you got here. With all the roads closed, I thought maybe nobody can get through. So thank you very much for coming. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, the Lord be with you. Brothers and sisters, let us acknowledge our sins and so prepare ourselves to celebrate the sacred mysteries. Your ascent to the contrite of heart, Lord, have mercy. You came to call sinners, Christ, have mercy. You are seated at the right hand of the Father to intercede for us, Lord, have mercy. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to life everlasting. Glory is on page 6. Glory to God in the highest. On earth, peace to people, goodwill. We praise you, we bless you, we adore you, we glorify you. We give you thanks for your great glory. Lord God, heavenly King, O God, almighty Father, Lord Jesus Christ, only begotten Son, Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, you take away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. You take away the sins of the world, receive our prayer. You are seated at the right hand of the Father, have mercy on us. For you alone are the Holy One, you alone are the Lord, you alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, and the glory of God the Father. Amen. Let us pray. Grant us, Lord our God, that we may honor you with all our mind and love you with reverence and truth of heart. For Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Let us listen to the word of God.
The first reading is a reading from the book of Deuteronomy. Moses spoke to all the people, saying, "A prophet like me will the Lord, your God, raise up for you from among your own kin. To him you shall listen. This is exactly what you requested of the Lord, your God, at Horeb, on the day of the assembly, when you said, "Let us not again hear the voice of the Lord, our God, nor see this great fire any more, lest we die." And the Lord said to me, "This was well said. I will raise up from them a prophet like you from among their kin, and I will put my words into his mouth. He shall tell them all that I commanded him. Whoever will not listen to my words, which he speaks in my name, I myself will make him answer for it. But if a prophet presumes to speak in my name an oracle that I have not commanded him to speak, or speaks in the name of other gods, he shall die." The word of the Lord.
Come, let us sing joyfully to the Lord. Let us acclaim the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us joyfully sing psalms to him. If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord who made us. For he is our God, and we are the people he shepherds, the flock he guides. If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Oh, that today you would hear his voice, harden not your hearts as at Meribah, as in the day of Massa in the desert, where your fathers tempted me. They tested me, though they had seen my works. If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts.
The second reading is a reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, I should like you to be free of anxieties. An unmarried man is anxious about the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But a married man is anxious about the things of the world, how he may please his wife, and he is divided. An unmarried woman, or a virgin, is anxious about the things of the Lord, so that she may be holy in both body and spirit. A married woman, on the other hand, is anxious about the things of the world, how she may please her husband. I am telling you this for your own benefit, not to impose a restraint upon you, but for the sake of propriety and adherence to the Lord without distraction. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
who sit in darkness have seen a great light. On those dwelling in a land overshadowed by death, light has arisen. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The Lord be with you. A reading of the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Then they came to Capernaum. On the Sabbath, Jesus entered the synagogue and taught. The people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. In their synagogue was a man with an unclean spirit. He cried out, "What do you have to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Jesus rebuked him and said, "Quiet, come out of him." The unclean spirit convulsed him, the loud cry came out of him. All were amazed and asked one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? Commands even the unclean spirits, they obey him." His fame spread everywhere throughout the whole region of Galilee. The Gospel of the Lord. One of the antiphones for today is, "If today you hear God's voice, harden not your hearts." And as I read that, I thought, maybe I should pay attention to that. And it came to me, I have never really sat down and thought and understood and realized, what's my job as a priest? I've been done it for a long time. And I think it's this. It's not a big job, but it is an important job. And the reason I do this, we need to understand that the church is not me. The church is all of us. What is my job? To help us remember, and I have to remember myself, to remember that our goal is to allow the mercy, the love that God is, to transform us into loving mercy. My job is to help us remember that, and of course I have to remember it myself too. It's a small job, but on the other hand, a very important job. Why are we here? What's the whole purpose of church? It's to allow us to help open our minds and hearts to receive the merciful love that God is. And that's what matters. And so, my job is to keep reminding us of that. What's all our jobs? All our jobs are, and really we miss almost everything if we don't realize this, that merciful love is something we have to allow that love to God to do in us. We do it with each other. We do it with other people. We do it for those who have nothing. We do it for those who have other kinds of problems. And I already said merciful love. Merciful love is love that's working toward helping people in need. And needs are many different kinds. Sometimes the needs people have nothing to eat. Or some not much to wear. Can be that. People can be going through periods where things are hard. They feel miserable, there's grieving, there's all kinds of things. Our whole purpose is for us to be merciful lovers. Think about that. The other little job I have is to celebrate the sacraments, to help lead you in prayer, things of those things too, because those are means by which this can happen. But you see, unless all the people get into this, we're not meeting what we're supposed to be. And most of that comes not from me. For example, we have different kinds, many, many different people. We have people who are helping with different kinds of prayer and so on. There's lots of that. People are helping those who are in need and drawing other people into it. All of those things. So you see, the church is so, Saint Sans is so much more than me. It's terribly important to remember. It's us. It's us. And this is why there is really more than just getting to Mass. So that's good, because when we open ourselves in the Mass to receive the grace of the sacraments, this helps us to become more merciful love. And see, this has to be way, way beyond me. This is something that our parish council needs to know, to keep that alive. Also, the many people are doing other different kinds of things are keeping it alive. Why do I want to make his, I am just a little part of that, just to keep reminding you. The church is us. I could be really wonderful and miraculous and all kinds of stuff. If you did nothing, it'd be worthless. If I could do all kinds of miracles and different kinds of things, which obviously I can't, and I don't really want to, that wouldn't be enough. I'd just be a lone ranger. The point I'm trying to make is, I want you to know that you are essential, and I'm just a little part to keep reminding us of that. Just think of that. We have so many people doing different kinds of things and different kinds of activities which draw people in. So more and more people can help those in need in the many different kinds of ways. People are providing the opportunities so that we can have some kind of prayer, some different kinds of medications, all kinds of things like this, to help all of this to happen. Unless we are transformed more and more closely into merciful love, we're not doing it. Please think of that. I cannot exaggerate the importance that you are. I am not the church. We are the church. Did I say that? Because it's so often, I think we're gradually getting over that. Like, the priest is who counts. The priest is not who counts. I have a little job, and that's important and valuable. St. Stan's is us. Please ponder that. Every single one of you is important. Remember, I might have probably talked about this different times, about the jigsaw puzzle, we're all different. But the puzzle's not finished till everybody's there. I don't care who you are, whether you're tall or short or rich or poor, or having a hard time or having an easy time, whatever it is, it doesn't make any difference. Everyone is necessary. I don't want you ever to say you're not important. And people want to join us, to welcome them, Doesn't matter whether they're rich or poor, they're here or there, whatever they're struggling with. I say this over and over again. This is hard for us. So many of us grew up, it's less true now, the priest is who counts. Wouldn't it be strange if I was here giving a sermon and nobody was there? I'll tell you a story. This is a story about, there's a big snowstorm, and the priest is in a little country town. And only one farmer came in. And the priest says, well, should I give a sermon? He said, well, if only one cow shows up, I feed the cow. Okay, so the priest gave his sermon. And the farmer came and said, listen, that was awful long. I said, well, you told me that only one cow comes in, you feed the cow. And the farmer said, yeah, but I don't give them the whole load. I'm better at jokes than I am at sermons. Just think of that, and so we're going to pray. So just be quiet. Let's close our eyes. And we imagine that this great love that God is smiling at us. Yeah? Obviously, it's not smile. This is not, God doesn't smile. But all this smiling, the love that God is, that is there. And even though this is an imagination, we're imagining what is really true. This love is smiling at us, loving us, recognizing our sins, and loving us even more deeply, cleansing us and forgiving us. We're worried and feeling alone, and this love is saying to us, I'm with you. I'm with you no matter what. If all of your friends leave, I will never leave you. I'm so glad to be with you. So glad. You're one of my children. You're one of my kids. And being with you makes me so, so happy. And I'm lonesome when you run away. And I want you to come back. Now just make me happy. I won't be mad. I won't be upset. I know being human has its ups and downs. I am with you always. Always. And I want to draw you into the merciful love that I am. I forgive everybody and everything, and I don't expect you to do as much as I do, but I want you to gradually get into it, to love each other, be merciful and careful of each other. Remember, each one of you is terribly important. Each one of you. Each one of you is my favorite child. God bless you. Please stand, we'll say the Apostles' Creed.